Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And welcome, friends. Great to have you with us today. It's a rainy Wednesday, and that's okay. Although grass seed farmers like me don't particularly like the rain when we're supposed to be out combining grass seed. Kind of stops the process for several days. So there you go. So let me ask you this question. What do you think would be the outcome if, in fact, it was proven that the legislature's leadership, Peter Courtney, Tina Kotek, the head of legislative council, and others, conspired to create a cover-up plan at a meeting in Portland on August 17th, 2018. A cover-up plan over what? Sexual harassment. If that were proven to be true, that the meeting happened and there were notes from the meeting that aren't covered by, say, attorney-client privilege, and other people are deposed who are at the meeting, what do you think the implications of that would? What do you think the outcome of that would be? Would it cause Peter Courtney to have to resign? Would it cause, as State Senator Brian Boquist alleges in his lawsuit, which was what he filed prior to the conduct hearing that ended up being much ado about nothing in reality. Would Tina Kotek have to resign? Was there a representative of the governor's office at that meeting? What if all of that happened? What do you think would be the outcome? What do you think should be the outcome? Now, those are two different things in Oregon, aren't they? Interesting thought, isn't it? It is all part of the 31-page lawsuit that I just read that Brian Boquist filed himself, one of two lawsuits he has ongoing, for the release of public records. Records that are part of this cover-up plan, as he alleges. What do you think about that? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Yes, you are listening to Political Coffee, where we talk politics, stuff that is impactful in your life, because it is. If you can't trust the leaders of the legislature to be reasonably honest with you, what does that mean for the rule of law as it impacts your life? You see, you not only vote for people to represent you, but you do that with an expectation that they will abide by the law, number one, because they demand that you do. They create laws that you have to abide by. So what happens when they don't? The public loses its trust. Is that good for the rule of law? Is it good for society? Is it good for culture? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about some other things that are out there also, including the Salem City Council is going to move forward maybe with a tax increase, a new payroll tax for the general fund, higher utility fees. Now, this is something the Salem City Council may, in fact, enact on its own. Or should you, especially on the payroll tax, should you have an opportunity to vote on that? In other words, should they put that out for the people to vote on? Now, any new tax under Oregon's constitution that is instituted by, say, a city council or a county commission, or certainly the legislature, is subject to the referral process. Now, city councils, as far as I know, do not have the ability to game the timeline like Kate Brown is doing on several bills right now. In other words, waiting until 30 days after the end of the legislative session eating into the 90 days with what the Constitution guarantees that we have the right to go gather signatures to put it to a vote of the people. So do you want to, if you're a Salem resident, do you want to vote on a new payroll tax for the general fund? Now why would the general fund of Salem City Council need that? Oh, it's that little thing. They're upside down in their budget by a lot. Remember the committee administrator? Or the city administrator said, hey, you know, we're going to be like several million dollars short. And then they vote to suspend or actually to kill the third bridge, which will likely then lead to the federal government threatening on or actually acting on its threat to say, hey, give us back that $4 million we gave you to study this thing over the last 13 years. Is that why they need to increase your utility fees? Do you want to vote on a payroll tax? Lots of other interesting things to talk about today. Political Coffee is brought to you. And Ron, hang on. I'll get to you in just a moment. Political Coffee is brought to you by our friends at King's Coffee. Great coffee that's roasted here in Salem. And you know, you can only buy it if you go to kingscoffee.biz. Kingscoffee.biz. It's not on a retail shelf at this point. Keep your coffee dollars local. Do business with people who share your values. And they do. kingscoffee.biz. It is coffee with a heavenly purpose. Other, some other things out there, including a little bit later in the show today, I'm going to share with you the, well, how the magnificent 11, the 11 Senate Republicans who left Oregon for 9 days, how they were received, they received this wonderful award. I alluded to it previously, but I'm going to tell you what the award, I'm going to actually read it to you. It was awarded at the Executive Club last Wednesday night. We'll share it with you because it relates to this conversation I had with the state senator on Monday, a three-hour conversation with them. All of it's important, including a couple of bizarre things. Well, one of them has to do with Portland about legally smoking weed naked. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Keep Portland weird. Now, Portland ought to go somewhere else. It ought to be a state unto itself. Let the rest of us live our lives without its undue influence over the rest of us. All right. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go to Ron, who's on the line. Ron, good morning. How are you, brother? What do you have to say?
Well, brother, I'm going to tell you right now, the Magnificent 11 did great. I think that the way that Volk was in, I read some of it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's hitting on all eight cylinders. I want the right as a taxpayer, since Kate wants to go through and force the sexual orientation agenda, you know, secularism type of situation, I'd like to see a lawsuit on that. Because if you can't, if they try and say separation of church and state, isn't there a right for a separation of what a person does in a bedroom privately should not be promoted besides the general welfare of the history or social studies? I am tired of it being put in these books. I found another book out of Douglas County that basically took in world history and makes the United States look like a something. They leave various things out. They don't even talk about Marco Polo or Columbus or anything in nature. And yet this state think that they're above God. I respect the home, you know, I got friends homosexual, I've read anything else, and that's their business, but it should not be taught in the schools as anything else. This is imprinting on our children and undermining parental rights of selection on how we're going to raise our kids. We need to be talking about history, the foundation of a country, why our country's got way, good, bad, or whatever. But yet, I just read the bill on it, all the additions added to the bill. It's an insult. I think that if I can't add creationism what we call it nowadays, I forgot what they call it, but I call it creationism about how the country, how the world was formed, then I don't want them to put sexual orientation on my kids and saying that it should be acceptable about history. This, and I don't care about the person's sexual preference, what they did. I care about what they've done to contribute to make America great. That's it.
It was interesting last night, Ron, to follow on with what you're saying about what's being taught in schools is this. I was at dinner last night with a friend And the gal who runs this little Mexican restaurant was telling me about how her son, her teenage son, who's 17, all he cares about is climate change.
Mm-hmm.
He attends the meetings. It's all he cares about. It's all he talks about. He's been indoctrinated at the school level. And that's the same thing. This is why there are options out there and why parents want options about where to put their children in public education, because they don't necessarily want that garbage.
But the thing is that they took that up, according to the law, they have denied the option of the parents to take them away from this stuff. And then I'll hit one step ahead on what you said. I got a history book that came out of Douglas County where I was doing a rodeo down there, and I thank the various people of Yoncalla and Douglas County for having me as their shoot operator down there for the breakaway ropers and the team ropers and also the steer wrestlers who are courageous more than I am and the calf tires. But in that history book, which is 3 years old, it talks about England. Oh, he used 55,000 tons of coal. United States, 55,000 tons of coal. It talks about destroying the rainforest in Africa for rubber and everything else, how it contributed to carbon. Excuse the heck out of me. Carbon is less than 8% of our atmosphere, people. Without carbon, which was as high as 7,000 parts per million, not 300 and some parts per billion. And keep this in mind, 400 million years ago, there was dinosaurs, so everything grew lush and green. All of it got flooded over, and in the process, we wound up with oil, natural gas, and everything else after the well was flooded over. And, you know, if they would teach that part of it, I wouldn't not have a problem. But to go through and impose your ideology instead of the three basic reading, writing, arithmetic, history, social studies, let the cards play up, and let the kids debate on their own, not imprint your ideology, that's not teaching. That's indoctrination, socialism.
It is.
I don't need
is.
A retrofocal to tell
right.
a parent what the kid
right.
can't do in the households. And they're doing it every which way, and they're destroying our kids, and destroying our culture, and destroying kids don't even dream anymore, or imagine. If they're going to start teaching sexual orientation at this younger age, it's one thing if they taught it as a health class in high school, or even eighth grade and junior high. Maybe.
Thanks for your call, brother. You're all over the board today, and none of it has to do with what we're talking about. But
I know that.
It.
I'm sorry, but
be
I'm
safe
just,
out there. You're the best, man. We love you.
I love you too, baby. Talk
and
to you later.
And you're not wrong. None of what you're talking about is wrong at all. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. So here's from. I want to read this. This is on page 9 of Brian Boquist's lawsuit. The court should know, and I quote from it, the court should know, as a member of the leadership at the time of the Senate sexual harassment scandal in August 2018, I attended a meeting in offices in Portland on August 17, 2018, in which a cover-up plan to block the release of documents to the Bureau of Labor and Industries was outlined by other individuals. Okay. That's an accusation in a lawsuit. Do you think that somebody might actually try to investigate that with legal authority? Cover-up plans? Depositions? Statements? Notes? Back in a moment. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. So what should happen? What do you think will be the outcome? If it is proven through this Brian Boquist lawsuit that a cover-up plan was literally not only discussed, but put in place by the leadership, by Peter Courtney, Tina Kotek, Dexter Johnson of Legislative Council, and others. What do you think should happen? Do you think that anyone will literally be investigated over this? Now, I don't have, frankly, hold out any hope that the Oregon Attorney General would do such a thing, because the Oregon Attorney General is not going to embarrass fellow Democrats. She is a partisan, and not a very good partisan at that. But do you think that the people should demand, if the editorial writers should demand, the newspapers should demand evidence of this, that some of the great enterprising and pretty good investigative reporters in this state should be digging into this? Let me continue to read from the lawsuit, page 14. I am in possession of certain records. Despite a Multnomah County court order that relate to female employee abuse, that were in fact not turned over to Bowley per the court order. The defendant, which is Peter Courtney, and Dexter Johnson, which is the head of legislative counsel, and other unnamed individuals involved in this petition for public records were and are involved in standing complaints. In regard to that meeting and other conflicts, the plaintiff has a formal Oregon State Bar complaint in process against Dexter Johnson named in the petition. Now, who's the legal counsel? So if you're in a meeting with a lawyer, and that lawyer represents you, you and that lawyer have what's called privilege, where those, because the lawyer's representing you, that for the most part, although as was shown in Trump, the privilege that is extended between a lawyer and a client can be pierced. Generally, it can't be discovered. But what if you're in a meeting with a lawyer that represents a whole bunch of people? Does that privilege extend to them? So who took notes in this meeting? I mean, folks, this is a bombshell, any way you look at it. What Brian Boquist is alleging here not only needs to be investigated by somebody, and since the Oregon Attorney General is not going to do it, and certainly not legislative counsel and certainly not legislative leadership, who would? How would that get done? Well, from my limited experience hanging around lawyers and being involved in various things, I would say that a lawsuit is the best way to lead to that evidence being uncovered. It's called the right of discovery. Now, assuming that this lawsuit moves forward and it's not dismissed, Brian Boquist has the right of discovery. And what that means is, and this will get fought out in the courts, the right to discovery of any meeting notes taken by anyone in the meeting. The right to depose everyone who, again, unnamed individuals. Who are those unnamed individuals? Why are they not named? All of those people have the right to be deposed under the force of law. Well, you have to take an oath where you can be perjured. Or you can perjure yourself. Or you can tell the truth. So if this cover-up meeting really happened, and through the process of discovery as a result of this lawsuit, it actually comes out that, yes, in fact, people acted to deceive the court, and as he's alleging that he's in possession of records about female sexual abuse that were not turned over to Bowley per the Multnomah County court order. Why weren't they turned over? Who's responsible for that? What are the implications of that? How do you think all of this will turn out? I'd love to get your perspective on it, but how you think it'll turn out and how should it turn out? The two are not the same, not in Oregon, where cover-ups abound. As we've witnessed with Kate Brown's gubernatorial race, where all of these cover-ups of kids dying in the state's custody just miraculously didn't become known until after the election. Funny how that happens, isn't it? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Hey, did you know that you can legally smoke weed? No, of course we know that in Oregon, right? But did you know that you can legally smoke weed naked on the patio of a Southeast Portland sex club? No kidding. This is the headline in a Willamette Week article, and it caught my eye. It doesn't surprise me in any way at all. This is a private Portland sex club, and there's all kinds of perversion that goes on there, according to this female reporter who apparently partakes in that. If you read, and I'm not going to go any further into this, but here's the point I want to make to you. This is the perversion and hedonism. This is the Sodom and Gomorrah-like perversion that makes Portland weird, that contributes to that cultural understanding of what Portland and Portlandia is. Here's the problem. Because of the communists that run, and that's socialist, whatever you want to call them, that run Portland, they've made it so expensive to live there, and they made it so undesirable to live there with all the homelessness and everything else that, well, the young people, the millennials, who get into this kind of thing, who have been influenced by this culture, now live out in the more rural communities because they can afford to live there. They can't afford to live in Portland. What will be the impact in our rural communities, in our rural counties over time of the cultural shift with this kind of weird mentality coming out to the rural areas? Does that worry you? It does. Bottom of the hour, back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, it is 25 minutes on the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. If you're just joining us, a little politics with your coffee is what we're talking about. The Brian Boquist lawsuit that he talked about, which he had filed at his conduct hearing. That lawsuit makes a bombshell allegation that says there was a cover-up plan hatched, and he was in a meeting where this was discussed. Because he's filed a lawsuit, now he has the opportunity for discovery. That means there are meeting notes. That means that people can be deposed. So if that happens, and it's proven that the leadership of the House and the Senate, plus the leadership of Dexter Johnson, which he has filed who is the head lawyer down at Legislative Council. These are the people that write the laws that get passed. He's lodged a bar complaint against him. If all of these people and other people are deposed, and it comes out that there was a cover-up plan and that records that Brian Boquist alleges in this lawsuit he is in possession of, records that Multnomah County Court ordered be turned over to Bureau of Labor and Industries, and they were not, who should be held accountable? What should happen here? What's at stake if this cover-up happens? By the way, the $1.3 million, we need to know the names of every... This is your money, your tax dollars, that was appointed. And he lists this in the lawsuit. This money was given to the victims as hush money, payments. We only know the names of a couple of the people. The rest of their names are hidden. Do you not have the right as a taxpayer to know where that money went? I think you do. I do. As a taxpayer, what do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. This segment of the show, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. If you have not tried CBD oil products and you got aches and pains and ailments like I do sometimes, you ought to, because it works. I was talking with a friend of mine who is a mechanic for hire. He drives around in his truck and he helps farmers fix their broken farm equipment. He came by yesterday to help us work on a particular piece of equipment. And he was talking about he's got a back problem, and his wife rubs CBD oil on it, and within minutes, pain goes away. And it lasts for a long time. You know what? That's just another story that ought to point you in the direction of saying, you know, maybe I ought to try some CBD oil products. So you ought to go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Salem on Commercial Street, right next to Safeway. Can't miss it. Go down and talk to them. Maybe they have something that'll help you. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. The Oregon Executive Club last Wednesday, a week ago, on July 3rd, honored the Magnificent 11. The 11 Republicans that left the state of Oregon and denied a quorum for the sweeping carbon tax scam bill called House Bill 2020. It couldn't be passed. It would have raised your gas prices immediately by 22 cents a gallon, just to start, folks. And utility prices by as much as 53%. Well, the Magnificent 11 were awarded the Don McIntyre Mucho Cajones Award. I'm going to read you what the award says in a moment, but this is an article on Oregon Catalyst. You can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. Senator Chuck Thompson was there to receive the award in person. And also was Senator Herman Bertziger, the Republican who led the Republicans and really convinced everybody they had to do this. We even had a cake for him, and there's pictures of this for the Magnificent 11. And the awards are framed, every one of them. And what's interesting about this, there are many things interesting about this. We dedicated this award to Don McIntyre. Don McIntyre passed away 6 years ago. He is the guy, the father of Measure 5. This is why you do not have ridiculously high property taxes in Oregon. This is Oregon's property tax limitation measure, which the liberals and the progressives just hate. And they want to do away with it. In every session, they threaten to do it, but they don't follow through. Why? Because they know it is the kiss of death politically with the swing voters. So we named this award the Don McIntyre Mucho Cajones Award. It's a little Spanish lingo there for you. Mucho Cajones. So we baked the cake. We also had 100 people there, folks. This is the only regular conservative meeting in the Portland metro area. It's always the first Wednesday of every month. Well, we invited the folks from Timber Unity. And Lauren Hutnick, who was one of the organizers of Timber Unity, he spoke, and there's a picture of him there. Also, Jeff Reynolds, Greg Clapper were there, and a lot of other people, along with Jason Williams, who's the head guy at the Taxpayers Association for Oregon. People signed thank you cards to this GOP senators because what they did was profound. The Don McIntyre Mucho Cajones Award reads like this. Whereas Governor Kate Brown, Senate President Peter Carney, and House Speaker Tina Kotek conspired to steal $700 million from the good people of Oregon through a fake carbon tax. Whereas the courageous 11 Senate Republicans joined the battle and vanquished the tax, ultimately handing Kate, Peter, and Tina a humiliating defeat. Whereas your protest ignited an uprising among the people, an outpouring of support and gratitude that hasn't been seen for decades. Be it resolved to the courageous 11 that the people of Oregon owe to them a debt of gratitude for saving their small businesses, their jobs, their family budgets, and saving them from $5 a gallon gas. And it lists all 11 state senators. They are to be congratulated. Now, in a related story, by the way, the governor of Washington is lamenting Jay Inslee, who's running for president of the United States as a Democrat, said at his Portland rally, he says, I tried and failed to be able to arrest the errant Republican senators that were in my state because I didn't have any authority. They didn't break any laws. Now, again, as a related story, two of the Timber Unity people that put together these massive protests that were truly organic, friends, truly grassroots oriented, rural people coming from all over the state, over 2,000 log trucks and other vehicles were at the Capitol and on the state fairgrounds. Believe me, I was there. I posted a YouTube video of it. Many of you were. You know how big a deal this was. It scared the living daylights out of the governor and Peter Courtney and Tina Kotek. Well, two of those Oregonians, and there's a story about this in the Capitol Press, were at the White House on Monday. Marie Bowers and Todd Stoffel of GT Stoffel Trucking. Now, Marie is a Shirtea relative of mine, lives just down the road, is a fourth-generation farmer from Harrisburg. She's a young mother. She's very active on social media. She is pictured, by the way, with Ivanka Trump, because they were at this White House meeting where President Trump was talking about the advances we've made in good environmental policy. And that's pretty cool. Folks, I want you to take heart in this. Because the fact that rural Oregonians came together in a truly grassroots movement, there's nothing fake about this. They came together and they made a real impact. I want you to take heart in that, because it means, as yes, as blue as Oregon and it is, we the people can still have an impact. Marie Bowers, folks, is one of the two plaintiffs, the two chief petitioners, rather, not plaintiffs, in the repeal of the sales tax. She is getting active. She's a very young mother. She's in her early 20s. Now, that ought to give you some hope to believe that the insanity of Oregon can be pushed back against appropriately. You know, the comment I made about this Willamette Week story, but you can legally smoke weed naked at this Portland sex club, where, I mean, it's as bad as anything that's ever taken place in San Francisco. It's happening in Portland. The cultural impact of Portlandia, of keeping Portland weird, is progressing out into the rural areas. By osmosis, because the millennials can't afford to live in Portland. So they're moving out to the hinterlands, the rural areas of the state. Now, that's going to have an impact. It already has, as we lost some erstwhile county commission seats that should have easily been kept by conservatives in some of the counties that are closest to the Portland area. The way you combat that is what we're doing with this radio show and what you do every day in your personal life, is that you have the ability to impact person by person your world, people around you. I told you the story about the young, the teenager that the lady who runs this Mexican restaurant that I was at last night lamented, I think to some extent, that all her teenager cares about is climate change, global warming. You see, had I had more time, I would have begun a conversation with her about that issue. How did that happen? What happens? Was this indoctrination at school? Is something that she believes? Do they teach that at home? That's how you make a difference. And then you engage in a discussion. Ask those persuasive, thoughtful questions. So I want you to take heart. The fact that two people from Oregon, from Timber Unity, were in the White House the other day, the White House was watching that massive protest, should give you heart, because the results of it is stunning.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
So I got an interesting email from one of our regular listeners. By the way, this is our last segment for today, so if you want to call and comment on any of this stuff, let me ask you this. You can just pick up the phone and call 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. This person shall remain nameless, but this person is saying, Boquist for governor. This person says, and I bet I'm not the only person thinking that. He's got the name recognition now. He has demonstrated courage. He's retired military. Who else could there be besides maybe you, Jeff? Well, I'm not running for governor, folks. Brian Boquist. So I want you to think about something. You know, this is an interesting thought. If Boquist is successful, look, think about who he is. Is Brian Boquist Oregon's Trump? I think he is. I mean, just think about Trump. He's very unconventional. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's not afraid to be controversial. He's smart. Brian Boquist is smart. He doesn't like being punched at, and he punches back. And that's exactly what Brian Boquist is doing here. So could a Trump-like person win in Oregon? Is Brian Boquist Oregon's Trump? Should maybe Brian think about running for governor, especially if he's successful with this lawsuit in exposing the corruption of Peter Courtney and Tina Kotek and probably Kate Brown, not to mention other unnamed individuals who were in this meeting? This could get really interesting, folks. Now, maybe I'm just fantasizing here about through the process of discovery. But I'm telling you, a lawsuit, as long as it's not dismissed, a lawsuit like this creates the opportunity for people to be deposed who were at this meeting. And if it comes out, in fact, if there are notes, an attorney-client privilege is not allowed because of the lawyers in the room, basically representing a whole bunch of people. Then all of those notes, and by the way, he alleges that in the lawsuit, which I read this morning, he alleges that these records must be preserved and not destroyed. And he's asking the court to make that point. Well, what happens if he's right here? What happens if this is exposed? Do you have any faith that there would be actual consequences, or would it be so bad that Peter Courtney and Tina Kotek would have to resign? Could this be one of those things? Could it be that it literally launches Brian Boquist if he would want to do it? And I have no idea if Brian would. I kind of doubt that he would, but maybe. Launches him in a bid for governor. Remember, Kate Brown's done, folks. She's done. So it'll be another Democrat running for governor. So who would it be? And if Brian Boquist is unconventional like he is, you got to remember, he's a special forces operator. He's an operator, we call him. These guys have to think unconventionally. Would that be appealing? Could that actually win an Oregon governorship? I mean, he is just as unconventional as Trump is. Now, I don't expect Trump to win in Oregon in 2020, but I think he's going to do a heck of a lot better in Oregon in 2020, especially if Boquist exposes the corruption and the cover-up, assuming this is true, what he's alleging. Got an email from my friend Rich, and it says, "Hi, Jeff. Remember the socialist Courtney, Kotek, etc. are above the law. Just ask them. If the laws were enforced, just think how many Democrats would have to resign. The GOP might even have a majority," laugh out loud. Boquist lawsuit. Keep going. Keep pushing. Get them to resign this summer. Can we say RICO investigation? Well, that would have to be done by the federal government. And I think that's the only way you would ever get that done. Now, Rich continues to write, says, "You know what, about Boquist for governor, we'd vote for him. Great thought and a great idea. Would you vote for Brian Boquist for governor? If he exposes the corruption, I mean, you talk about a game changer. This is the kind of thing that can take a purple state like Oregon." And it is purple, folks. I know I say it's deep blue, but the reality is it isn't. And the Democrats know it. Why do you think they don't do away with Measure 5, the property tax limitation measure? Because they're scared to. Why do you think the Timber Unity folks stopped Kate Brown dead in her tracks and Peter and Tina with House Bill 2020, the carbon trading scam that would have dramatically raised your cost of living and destroyed rural Oregon? Because they got scared because of all the grassroots folks who came out of the woodwork to say, no, stop it. Somebody unconventional like Brian Boquist, if he exposes a true cover-up here, if that's what comes out, assuming that Oregon news media wouldn't cover for them all, the Democrats, and not cover it. But you know what? There's Nigel Jaquist out there. There's Gordon Friedman. There's Les Zeitz and some other folks that are not afraid to publish this stuff. They're willing to hold people accountable. So let's hope it happens. If there's truth to it, if it comes out, maybe this is the kind of thing that could be a huge game changer in Oregon. Somebody who is a game changer maybe in your life could be my friend Fred Thompson. Game changer like how? Well, maybe like if you don't have enough retirement income. You know, and you ought to be thinking about that. Even if you're a little bit older, because who knows where Social Security is going to be in a few years, folks. The thing's going to be upside down and bankrupt. And at the rate that Congress, and yes, even Trump, is spending your money, it's not looking good. So maybe you ought to depend on somebody other than the government for a change. Well, Fred Thompson is a great guy to talk to. New York Life is who he represents. They can help you, even if you're a little bit older. 503-428-7479. Don't have enough money in retirement? Why don't you talk to Fred? Maybe he can help you. 503-428-7479. So as you go through this day, just contemplate. If Brian Boquist is successful in his lawsuit and it exposes corruption, how could you use that in conversations today with people to say, hey, have you heard about this lawsuit? What if it comes out? And do you think Oregon is lost? Or do the Timber Unity folks, which have stopped a profound piece of legislation that would have impacted your life, does that give you hope? It does me. All right, friends, our podcast is up. Go to kslm.news and You can click on podcasts, find Jeff Krupp, and we're about a day behind on him, but that's how it goes. Make it a great day. See you tomorrow.